Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. I'm Anthony Zara, and this episode was recorded live at the Food Matters Live event held in London's Olympia in 2026. This episode is all about women's health. We look at evidence-based formulation from a retailer's perspective and take on the issue of personalised nutrition.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Emily Pripper. I am a nutrition scientist with a PhD from King's College London. After years working in academia, industry and policy, my work now focuses on translating nutrition and women's health science into actionable and accessible information across. I do that across my platforms, my talks and now my media work. And I'm delighted to be your chair for today's women's health session, and even more delighted to see women's health now get a little bit more of the spotlight, as it rightly should. But still, it does remain one of the most under-researched areas of health and nutrition. And when it comes to closing the women's health gap, it's not just about generating more research, but it's about creating better innovations, better products, better communication, and hopefully better health outcomes for women. This is going to be a fireside chat, it says on the program, which feels very Love Island, doesn't it? It's like I'm about to pull Molly for a chat. But Molly is a registered associate nutritionist and science specialist at Holland & Barrett, where she evaluates emerging nutrition research to support product innovation and evidence-based health claims. With a background spanning clinical nutrition, personalized nutrition, and the wellness industry, she is passionate about translating complex science into practical, accessible insights. So please do welcome Molly to the stage, and we're going to chat. So what I'm going to do is I've got a couple of questions for Molly, and then we're going to throw it to you guys as well, because, you know, it's Thursday afternoon and we all need to interact, don't we, to keep ourselves alive after, you know, the bit of the 3 p.m. slump. Okay, so Molly, hi.
Hello.
So from a retailer's perspective, how is evidence-based formulation influencing the women's health products you choose to list and champion?
Yes, I mean, at Holland & Barrett, we're really working towards becoming a truly science-led wellness retailer. So as part of that, scientific substantiation is really at the core of the products we're formulating, listing, championing. And to do that, our science and product development teams work really closely together to make sure that we're selecting the most scientifically backed ingredients for our products, and just making sure that any products that we're delivering on shelf are genuinely providing a benefit. And that's particularly important in a category like women's health, where that trust and efficacy is so important. But really, we're not just looking at what ingredients are trending. We're looking at what effects they're having, what populations, how they work, and even the best dose and formats for them. And as part of this as well, we're working with loads of really great academics and experts to support us in making sure we just deliver the best products possible. But I think what's really exciting in women's health is how much the research space has evolved. So we know historically women have been very underrepresented in clinical research, but that is starting to change a bit. You know, there's so much more data emerging around our unique nutritional needs through different stages of the life cycle, from puberty and adolescence to fertility, all the way along to peri and postmenopause. And that's helping us to create really targeted and supportive products. But as well as this, well, actually, I think a great example to mention here would be like folate supplementation in pregnancy. So we now know from the research that some women have genetic variations that affect how efficiently they're converting folic acid into its active form. So we're seeing increased demand for using the methylated folate form in our prenatal supplements. And it's just one way that that advancing science is directly affecting our products and why it's so important as well. So that research is really having an impact. But also we're seeing that the consumers are so much more engaged and informed in their own health. You know, social media is a great tool for spreading wellness information.
Which, and misinformation.
and misinformation. But that's where, you know, retailers come in. There's a challenge and an opportunity there because the consumers are looking for science-led products and trusted guidance. So we really have a role to play in helping them navigate that responsibly.
How do you do that, particularly at Holland & Barrett, for example, like on socials, would you say? Or do you find it more like when they go into store that people are like, sorry, I'm going way off script. Molly's looking at me like that wasn't on the sheet.
And like, no,
yeah, like how do you do that? Because that is such a battle, right? To create this trust. Because ultimately, you guys are a massive brand. Like we know you're selling, you know, you're a commercial. Like how do you build that trust?
Yeah, so I mean, when it comes to, say, social media, with the science reviews that we're doing, we're using that to directly advise our different teams and making sure that content is backed in science, not just following trends and jumping on the bandwagon. But also in store, we have so many amazing colleagues and they've received over 50,000 hours of training in wellness to make sure that they're giving that accurate advice to our customers. So yeah, lots of work goes into making sure that we're staying science-led. And there's also been a bit of a culture change as well in the company, because previously, you know, our science team is maybe 5 years old. So it's really been making sure that we spread the word about the importance of science, making our work visible and making sure we're touching every corner of the business to be that science-led retailer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like a lot of companies talk about being science-led, but Holland & Barrett have a huge nutrition team. Like usually in companies, nutrition is like N equals one, but you guys have like so many people. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the next question. So as women's health continues to evolve, how important is scientific substantiation in shaping retail decisions? And what does a robust evidence review process actually involve behind the scenes?
Yeah, so scientific substantiation is paramount. As I've said, women's health is where that trust, efficacy and safety is so important. And we need to make sure that the products are genuinely delivering the benefit that's on pack. So really, Holland & Barrett, as we said, our science team has grown so much and we've invested so much in growing our science capability. And as part of this, we've developed a very detailed internal science review process. So, you know, it's not just looking at what's working, as I said, how it works, the dose, the format, but also we then critically analyze the quality of the studies as well. So what's the study design? Have they used placebo controls or blinding? What's the statistical methods? What is the reproducibility of these findings? So we really bring that all together to decide whether we can confidently say that this ingredient has this benefit. And I mean, our team so far, we've reviewed over 150 ingredients across all our key health pillars, including women's health, and have worked with our amazing academics and experts to support us with that process as well. But science isn't static, particularly in women's health. The science is always changing. So we're having to go back, re-review the evidence, stay up to date with the regulatory frameworks, and just make sure that we're on top of everything that's going on. But yeah, ultimately, it is a very thorough and resource-intensive process, but it's a top priority for us because that long-term consumer trust really comes from, you know, credibility, transparency, and scientific integrity.
Absolutely. And I think there is a shift currently with consumers where they're like, where are we getting our information from and who to trust? Like even in my own platforms, like I get people asking me like, well, which supplements do you take and which brands? And it's like, sometimes it's a bit of a stab in the dark, but with the what you're doing and do you actively communicate that out there? Like how much you're doing behind the scenes in terms of that?
Chanel, we could probably do better at communicating.
Did anyone else say that?
Yeah, our science team has a corner in the office and we just tick along and no one knows what's going on. But no, we are definitely working on improving that, particularly through our sort of SciComms, getting our faces on the website. Scientists, we like to stay behind the scenes.
Don't know what you're talking about,
But yeah, really trying to slowly but surely spread the word. And I think our in-store colleagues are really helping with that as well.
Amazing.
Letting the customers know where this information is coming from.
Amazing. Okay, question three. Where do you see the biggest untapped opportunities in personalized nutrition for women? And what needs to happen for these to scale in retail?
Yeah, personalized nutrition is such an exciting opportunity in women's health, particularly because our retail products are targeted at quite broad audiences. But we know that our individual nutritional needs can vary so much based on so many factors: our genetics, lifestyle, nutrition, hormones. There's so many determinants involved. So that's really where personalized nutrition can come in. Something we've been doing at Holland & Barrett is more at-home health testing. So we partner with Randox to provide the at-home blood testing kits, and they provide insights on things like just general wellness, cardiovascular health, female hormone testing kits as well. And then we can also pair that information with the great advice from our store colleagues to provide that very personalized wellness experience. But I think a more untapped opportunity is wearable technology. So I don't know how many people here are wearing a smart watch or ring today. Yeah, a few nods. Yeah, and it just provides such an enormous amount of data that we could really use, like not just on an individual level, you know, making sure the supplements you're taking are showing up in changes in your health, but as a retailer, we could use that data to understand more sort of population trends and I guess issues as well. Like we may see that younger women have higher stress scores. Mine's going to be very high right now, public speaking.
You're doing great.
Thank you. But say women going through the menopause may have poorer sleep scores, and that sort of data can really help us create targeted nutrition support and supplements. But I think as well, as consumers, we want more measurable feedback as well. So we want to see that the supplements we're taking are changing how we feel and function, and that personalized nutrition and technology can help bridge that gap between intention and outcome. But ultimately, I think we just need to make sure that this personalized technology is, you know, accessible, affordable, and people are educated on the data they're receiving, making sure they understand it and can use it in their lives rather than just having that data overwhelm.
Really glad you finished with that last sentence, because I was about to pull you apart, Molly. Like, I don't think we have a data deficiency sometimes, like with all this wearables. I don't know whether you guys wake up sometimes and you're just like, I feel good. And then you check your Aura score and you're like, oh, apparently I'm having a terrible day. So yeah, I think some of that can be taken with a pinch of salt. But one thing I know Holland & Barrett do, and I think personalized nutrition is a tricky one, because I think it does fall into that gap sometimes for the worried well. Mm-hmm. And you guys being on every high street, like, you know, your mission obviously is to make it as accessible as possible, but you also have like the free wellness checks, right? Where people can just go in and not have to do like the Randox side of things.
Yeah, exactly. You can go in and have the free wellness checks, but also as well, if you just go in and chat to one of the store colleagues, and they can sort of help you remove that overwhelm. I know I've spoken to people about their health before and it can seem so panicky and so stress inducing, but just having that conversation with someone who is educated and trained and, you know, can help you navigate that without the stress.
I think so, because from women, you know, like the wellness industry was built on our backs, I think. And so it is, you know, everything does seem to be targeted at us. And even when men are taking something, sometimes it's because their wives told them to and something like that. Like they're the ones buying the supplements in the first place. So it can feel so intimidating. And even in a store like Holland & Barrett, there is so many choices.
Yeah.
But like you say, so many of the I'm so sorry, I'm
store
waffling on it.
No,
we're good. But your store colleagues, yeah, like they've gone under like different like education. What is it that they do?
So yeah, we have different pillars of training for our store colleagues. So they can start with sort of our baseline training and then work their way up to be like wellness champions.
Love that.
And then they can all train each other as well. So if you go into a store, depending on, you know, exactly the problem that you are experiencing or want to talk about, they'll be able to direct you to the right person.
Amazing. Okay, next question. How can brands successfully balance commercial performance with scientific credibility and long-term consumer trust on shelf? Is this where science and marketing have a battle?
I think balance is the key word there. I would say that the strongest products are probably the ones where scientific credibility, consumer demand, and that commercial practicality all aligns, which may not be often. But what we do So sometimes what we see is like the most scientifically backed ingredients might not be the most operationally or commercially feasible, because things like cost, taste, stability, even the manufacturing and the regulatory constraints that we face. On the flip side, some of the most scientifically promising ingredients may not align with consumer needs and behaviors and demands. So I think the key is starting by understanding the consumer need, then providing the most effective and efficacious solution possible in a format that they're going to enjoy and want to incorporate into their routine. So I think a good example is probably vitamin gummies. So everyone loves gummies. They're delicious. You know, you can just pop a gummy every day. It's like having a sweet. But when you look at the data for vitamins and botanicals, it's not traditionally looked at in that gummy format. Mm. So the key is kind of responsibly bridging that gap by, you know, providing the most scientifically supported ingredients at that clinically efficacious dose where possible, and then in the format that the consumer is going to enjoy. Because, you know, you could have the most scientifically advanced product in the world, but if you don't take it, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
So I think that's the key. And I mean, long-term consumer trust really does come from consistently delivering those high quality, transparent products that align with the consumer need and not just trends.
So much of, I think, when it comes to, because supplements are just like the easiest route, right? It's what everyone wants, the magic pill. But there's so much backlash in the supplement industry in terms of like from me standing in terms of like cutting through wellness noise, would be that there was that study that was done looking at supplements and how many of them didn't actually meet the criteria for them. How do you tackle that? Like,
yeah. So I mean, quality is so important to us at Holland & Barrett. We have our quality and technical teams who make sure that the products we're developing do meet the standards that we want to adhere to. We also make sure that we work with the best possible suppliers. So I don't know the exact regulations and rules when it comes to the suppliers, but we're picking the best of the best to make sure
to hear that
the supplements we're delivering are of that top quality.
Okay. And then looking ahead, what role will technology and data play in shaping women's health, nutrition and the retail experience over the next decade?
Yeah, I think technology and data is going to hugely reshape both women's health, nutrition and the retail experience over the next decade. You know, we're already starting to see early signs through our wearables, the health tracking apps and all the personalized testing. Consumers also now have more real-time health data than ever before. Mm. And that's probably changing their expectations around what personalized support should look like. But I really think we're going to start seeing more tech-driven health experiences within the retail environment. So, for example, there have been brands who have, say, used facial scanning to do health tests. At Holland & Barrett, we did our nationwide Tamita body composition tour. So we were able to give people that immediate insight into aspects of their health. And that was paired with our vending machine. So that delivered different products depending on the customer's answer to a health questionnaire and their health goals. And we received so much engagement with that because people really want that accessible, personalized insights and support. And I think looking ahead, technology is just going to become so much more integrated. But I can totally imagine a day where I'm going to walk into a Holland & Barrett store, get a high-tech health assessment in minutes, you know, personalized nutrition and lifestyle advice, and all based on my data and my results.
And you won't see a single human the entire time.
Not worth. We'll keep our store colleagues, of course. We love them and we need them. But yeah, that I, you know, the technology is just going to become faster, more advanced, more accessible. But really, the key responsibility and challenge is making sure that all of this stays evidence-based and that we're turning that data into real, measurable health outcomes. Again, not just that data overload.
Amazing. I am happy to throw it to the audience for the last like couple of minutes, if 1 minute. Does anyone have any questions for Molly?
Just in terms of the in-store experience, where obviously you've got the wellness champions, do you have mystery shoppers that go in and check that the advice they're being given, you know, they themselves haven't been influenced by social media and are actually giving the stuff they're trained rather than
That's such a good question. We do. We have mystery shoppers who will check the advice is aligned. We also, you know, we're making sure that the colleagues aren't giving any medical advice or overstepping boundaries when it comes to health. And if there were any situations, you know, our clinical governance teams and regulatory teams are really on it in just making sure that they know the sort of their scope of practice and the boundaries. So yes, is the answer.
Great. One last question. Yeah, just behind you. Bye.
Thank you. I think I deserve some shares of Holland & Barrett. I sent so many people to buy the black seed oil there, especially during COVID. But my question is, how do you see the future on eating or having supplements according to your blood type? Because I have really noticed for anemia, like the people O or O negative need much more iron, where the people that are A are the natural vegetarian. So are you already working on that area? Thank you.
Yeah, I guess that comes into the personalized nutrition side of things. So when you talk about blood types, that can really range, because, you know, if someone has anemia, then absolutely iron is a very important supplement. Whereas when you have, say, things like the blood type diet, I think the research in that space is much more emerging. So particularly at Holland & Barrett, we want to support everyone in their health needs and what they're looking for in store. But currently we're really focusing on starting with, you know, making sure our advice is based on what we've got for solid evidence so far. And then we're, you know, doing our horizon scanning, watching the landscape, so that as this new information emerges, we can then align our products and advice based on that. But yeah, it's an interesting space to watch.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Molly.
Thank you. That was fun.
Let me pull you for a chat. See you later.
Thank you for listening. If this has whet your appetite for next year's Food Matters Live events, you can already register your interest to partner with us in London and Rotterdam. Just head to foodmatterslive.com.